Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Unlike Twitter, we have launched our program on time, and we are very happy to have you with us today. So we've got a lot to get to and a lot to unravel. And I do hope that Ron DeSantis will come on this program. We have been inviting him to come on the program for the past 2 years now. And one of the reasons why I suspect Governor DeSantis is not comfortable coming on this program is that we're going to be fair and balanced. It will not be a love fest. It'll be respectful, but we intend to ask the governor some questions about policy and things that you need to know about before you cast your vote in the Republican primary. Now, my question for you, you've had a chance to see Ron DeSantis, or at least hear him. Some of you did. Man, that was a disaster. Team DeSantis is actually spinning it. They're saying that there were so many people. And by the way, they're saying tens of millions of people were actually on the Twitter space yesterday and heard the announcement. I don't know. I have no way of verifying that information. But when I tried to log on, there were only about 415, maybe 500,000 people there. So I don't know how you get tens of millions out of that, but whatever. Loaves and fishes. What do you want me to say? But I'm curious to hear from you. You've had a chance to hear from DeSantis. You had a chance to see him on Fox News Channel. And I'll get to more of that. I have some thoughts on that interview. But are you now more inclined or less inclined to support Ron DeSantis? And again, we're going to open up the phones. We want to hear from you, whether you are pro-Trump or pro-DeSantis. Do you, based on what you heard and saw yesterday, has that moved the needle for you at all? And our telephone number, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. So look, here's my take, and I don't think this is necessarily on DeSantis. I just believe he is getting bad, bad guidance and counsel. And that needs to get fixed. And I will say that the communications division probably needs to be given the heave-ho, because they're doing a lousy job. Now, it's interesting. He is now making the rounds on some of the radio programs. But you have to understand that these radio programs are going to be pro-DeSantis or DeSantis-friendly. And look, that's great. I've already announced who I'm supporting, but it's important to hear from all the candidates, because you don't know what's going to happen between now and primary day. We can all assume that President Trump is going to be there, but what if he's not? So you've got to have a pretty good idea of where all the Republican nominees are coming from. And I have absolutely no problem with that at all. But I don't know if you have discovered this, but I've noticed something of late, and the diehard Team DeSantis people. And by the way, a lot of these influencers, a lot of the high-profile conservatives on Twitter, they are bought and paid for. Literally, they are Ron DeSantis influencers, and their job is to change your opinion, to sway your opinion of Ron DeSantis. And so a lot of these people are being paid. I can't tell you who, but I do know that a lot are. They were actually brought to Florida because they wanted to recruit this team of what they called the elites in the conservative movement to promote Ron DeSantis. And so really for the past 3 or 4 months now, what they've been doing is they've been posting messages that are critical of Trump. They've been distancing themselves from Trump. And fine, that's fine. Just be honest about it. acknowledge that you are a paid supporter of Ron DeSantis. Just be honest about it. But I was watching the I was trying to listen to this Twitter thing, and I just gave up. I figured, well, if anything is said of interest, I think they talked about bitcoins for 30 minutes. I'm just not sure that's the opening that Ron DeSantis wanted. With all of the tech glitches and the whatnot, and they can spin it however they want to spin it, but the fact of the matter is the technology failed. I mean, it is what it is. But compare Ron DeSantis's launch to Donald John Trump's launch back in 2016 when he came down the golden escalator, stood before the people and the microphones, and said, hey, I want to be your next president. Do you think Ron DeSantis had a successful outing yesterday? And then this Fox interview was a complete joke. And here's my problem. Nobody's asking any tough questions. Nobody's asking any follow-up questions. We're going to play a lot of audio today. DeSantis was asked about Ukraine, for example, and he ended up talking about wokeness in the military. And Trey Gowdy looked as disinterested as any person I have seen on TV. The guy was literally kicked back in his chair, which is why he looked awkward on the screen. When they went to the wide shot, you understood why. He was literally in a chair, leaning back in the chair. He had no notes, nothing prepared. He was literally reading questions off the teleprompter. And by the way, on that Twitter, whatever that was, it was very clear, and you have to go back and listen, but if you go back and listen, you can tell that Ron DeSantis is answering questions that were written out on cue cards. So here's how I would have done this. I would have gotten Brett Baer, somebody on the journalism side, and I would have had him sit down with Ron DeSantis in the same studio together so they could actually have a conversation. And so you could really get to know Ron DeSantis away from the scripting of it all. I'm not sure any of us got to know the real Ron DeSantis yesterday. And out of all of that, and again, I like the guy. I don't believe that he is a Democrat. And I know this gets me in trouble with Team Trump. I don't believe he's a Democrat. I don't believe he's a rhino. I don't believe he supports the New World Order or will usher it in. I just don't believe that. And you may, and that's great. Good for you. Good for you. Meanwhile, the Team DeSantis people are really nasty folks. I mean, these influencers are nasty. And I can't tell you how many people, and many of these people have been pro-Trump forever. Friends of mine. Well, if you don't support DeSantis, you're really not a Christian. Oh, I'm sorry, what? What? That's right, Todd. That means if you support Donald Trump, you're not a Christian, and you hate women, you support the mistreatment of women. Wait, what? What? Where did that come from? What? Come on. Just stop. Really? Come on, Team DeSantis. Just stop. But there's something weird about all of this. So within hours, and I want to illustrate this point, I think Ron DeSantis is having some difficulty trying to figure out who he wants to be. And I understand this because there are a lot of people out there. This happened to me at Fox. They called me in one day. Todd, we think you need to have more Democrats on your program. Wait, what? What? Huh? Todd, you need to lay off that whole LGBT stuff. Wait, what? Huh? Come again? So Ron DeSantis is getting all this counsel, and they've got all these campaign people, and they're in there, and they're telling him, well, you need to get a haircut. You need to wear blue jeans. You need to wear a suit. You got to stop laughing the way you laugh. It's all sorts of stuff they're throwing at you. And so as a person, you start thinking, well, wait a second, maybe I do need to wear a suit, or maybe I do need to wear blue jeans. So Ron DeSantis is getting it from all corners. But this one just sort of illustrates the point. I'm going to play you two very short clips. And actually, we're going to do this back to back. So two different videos on the same day, Ron DeSantis actually pronounces his name two different ways. Cut 14 and 15.
I'm Ron DeSantis.
Hi, this is Governor Ron DeSantis.
So is it D or Da? I mean, not that really matters. But again, these Team DeSantis people are going to be out there. And if you mispronounce the guy's name, he's doing that intentionally. That Todd Starnes, he's intentionally insulting Ron DeSantis by mispronouncing his name. Well, no, I put out a tweet. Tweet said, hey, can somebody clarify this? How do we pronounce the guy's name? Even Ron DeSantis doesn't know how to pronounce Ron DeSantis's name. Who does that? My name is Todd Starnes. See, I pronounced my name correctly. How difficult. What is that all about? It's just very weird. Anyway, I want to play some audio. We're going to get to your calls. This is from the question I mentioned about Ukraine. DeSantis was asked about his policy positions on Ukraine, and here's how he answered that. Cut 19.
All right. You wore the uniform. If you are elected president, you may be the first one in a while to have worn the uniform. How would you address the ongoing war in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine on day one of a Ron DeSantis presidency?
Well, first, I think what we need to do as a veteran is recognize that our military has become politicized. You talk about gender ideology. You talk about things like global warming that they're somehow concerned in. That's not the military that I served in. We need to return our military to focusing on commitment, focusing on the core values and the core mission. That would be something that I could take care of on day one. There'll be a new sheriff in town as commander in chief. And I think you'll see recruiting start to get back to where it needs to be because people don't want to join a woke military. And I think it's been really, really problematic. Look, in terms of what's going on over in Eastern Europe, I'd like to see a settlement of this. I do not want to see a wider war. I think it's completely unknowable what it will look like in January of 2025. But I would not want to see the United States with our troops get enmeshed in a war in Russia or in Ukraine.
I would not want to see, again, this is hedging here. You either want troops or you don't. And you need to be very direct. This is all about words. And we know these politicians, they love to play around with their words. Fox News Channel's Pete Hegseth, good for him, military veteran, called out DeSantis on the flip-flop, Cup 20.
Part of his rollout that was so poor from DeSantis was being on both sides of the Ukraine issue. Trump's been very clear about it. It didn't happen under my watch, and it wouldn't have happened, and I don't want to start foreign wars. DeSantis kind of tiptoed on the establishment route and then went another direction, and people said, we don't know who we've got here.
And that's the question. Do you know what we have here, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to take a break. We're going to the phones. Your thoughts on Ron DeSantis, the presidential campaign. Emerson College has some new polling data out, and President Trump is just gaining steam here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Brand new Fox polls out this hour, releasing right now, show the former president with a 53-20 advantage over Governor DeSantis. Mike Pence, as you see, with 5%. Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy are at 4%.
All right, there you go, folks. That is some polling data from Fox. Also, Emerson College out with new polling data today. This is from Iowa. So they've been polling Republicans in Iowa. President Trump at 62% today. Ron DeSantis at 20%. Nikki Haley, Mike Pence tied up at 5%. And then all the rest are there you go. 2% say someone else. But I think it looks to me like most Republicans have made up their minds. Now, there are a couple of factors here. There are a couple of wrenches that could be thrown into this. First of all, there are rumblings that President Trump could face federal charges in connection to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. There are also reports that I'm hearing that charges could be coming out of Fulton County, Georgia, and Atlanta sometime in July. So and you know how the feds are, and the deep state is going to do whatever they can to keep Trump off the ticket. So if they play this right, you're going to have something happening in July and then probably something happening in August. Or the feds may come in early and say, all right, June, we're going to be filing the federal charges against Trump over the so-called missing documents. But at that point, my question is, why aren't you going after Joe Biden? Why aren't you going after Mike Pence? They all had classified documents. And by the way, Vice President Biden, and that's when he was vice president, there was no presidential authority to declassify any of those documents. Trump had authority. Biden did not. Just something to keep in mind here. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Sharon, WSIC. All right, Sharon, what do you think, Trump or DeSantis?
Oh, Trump. Me and the Stitch and Chat ladies talked about it yesterday. DeSantis is, I think he's up and coming for the election after this, but he would not have done what Donald Trump did. When Donald Trump went to his first NATO meeting, he looked at our allies and he said, either pay up or I'm pulling the United States out of NATO. And everybody in the world ran in circles with their hair on fire. But Donald Trump goes back to the next NATO meeting a year after, and guess who paid up? And it saved their hineys. If it would not have been for Donald Trump getting our allies to pay up, where would Europe have been when Russia invaded Ukraine? What a big mess.
Now, Sharon, that's a great point. I want to go back to something you said, the Stitch and what ladies?
Oh, our Stitch and Chat ladies.
Now, what is that? I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, we meet over at the Methodist Church 1 to 3 every afternoon. We put the coffee pot on. Some ladies do cross-stitch, some knit, some make quilts, some, you know, crochet, and some just show up for the coffee and the chatting.
I love it. That's great.
I'm telling you. We've been doing this for 20 years.
So the general consensus of the ladies down at the Stitch and Chat, it's Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. And here's the thing. You brought up this thing about Donald Trump and the women in the past and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Democrats like to have a very short memory. Let's not forget that FDR, dear President Roosevelt, who was a Democrat, couldn't keep his eyes focused on his marriage and couldn't keep his pants on. Then John Kennedy came along, and none of the Kennedy guys could keep their eyes focused on their marriage and their pants on. And then Bill Clinton come along, and he couldn't keep his eyes focused on his marriage and his pants on. And those three did it while they were in the White House. Donald Trump didn't do it while he was in the White House. So my argument is that I don't need Donald Trump to be my moral guide. I have Jesus for that. But I need Donald Trump to be the president of this country.
Well said, Sharon. And I want you to give us a call back and be sure to keep polling the ladies down there at the Methodist Church. I suspect that you ladies may have your finger on the pulse of America here. So good for you. All right. Thanks for the call. The Stitch and Chat. I love it. I bet they have a rip-roaring time, and I bet that's some pretty darn good coffee, too. Methodists know how to throw a good buffet. All right, we've got to take a break here. So, again, the question, did Ron DeSantis move the needle for you yesterday? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We've got a poll going over at the Todd Starnes Twitter feed. You can check that out, at Todd Starnes. And, of course, our website, toddstarnes.com. Lots of great stories and information for you there. We'll be right back, America.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
And here are some of the headlines from Breitbart News. No safe spaces. Twitter launch debacle for DeSantis. Daily Mail, biggest fail in campaign launches in history. Newsweek, Ron DeSantis's disastrous 2024 launch marred by Twitter glitches. Just the News, DeSantis announcement met with major tech issues. Trump reacts with meme. Have you seen the meme? It's a pretty funny meme, actually. It's true. Cut number one, please.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on for a second?
Hilfa, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
I don't
microphone.
Think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello?
Just shut up, George.
Can somebody just mute George?
Dick, could you try not to cough on the...
Okay, so how are we going to take out Trump, you guys?
Guys from the FBI, this is not a private call. This is a public Twitter space. Everyone can listen in. Anyway, guys, we invited everyone to this this Twitter space so Governor Ron DeSantis could...
Everyone just shut the up so I can make my announcement, okay?
You go, girl.
Wait, the devil is gay?
So what? Everyone in this call is gay. I happen to know every single one of you has a secret gay lover hidden in your closet.
Feiglinge! Guys, can we please just calm down?
So anyway, guys, I just wanted to announce that I'm...
Okay, I can hear the governor very well.
Shut up, George. Would you please shut up already? I'm running for president, okay?
Yeah. We kind of already knew about it.
We already know, Governor.
Congratulations, Governor.
Well, that concludes our Twitter space for today. Thank you to all of our...
Hold your horses, Elon. The real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick very soon. Hitler, you're already dead. Dick Cheney, sounds like you'll be joining Hitler very soon. Klaus Schwab and George Soros, I'm putting both your in jail. And Ron DeSanctimonious can kiss my big, beautiful 2024 presidential Trump 2024, baby. Let's go.
I don't think that was Hitler. I don't think that was Trump either. But was that apparently we? All right, we got to check our sourcing on this. We thought this was sort of the behind the scenes audio from the DeSantis launch. So my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We try to get this right. I do want to play some audio though from DeSantis talking about the role of the president in the culture war. Now this is interesting. Cut number six.
People hear words and sometimes use words like woke or culture wars. What is the role of the president in participating in culture wars? And I'll ask you specifically about education because many conservatives think that's a state issue, but that's also a battleground for what people call woke or culture wars. As president, what role do you play? I know governor, but as president, what role would you play?
Well, first of all, the woke mind virus is basically a form of cultural Marxism. At the end of the day, it's an attack on the truth. And because it's a war on truth, I think we have no choice but to wage a war on woke. So how does that work for a president? Some of it may be the bully pulpit, being willing to tell the truth and not being deluded by ideology, which we see in many aspects of our society. There are probably ways, though, that you can make a difference. Certainly when you look at ESG and some of the things that's going on with major financial institutions in corporate America, we have every right to be pushing back on that. With education, you know, the federal government approves the accreditors for universities. There's a reason why universities are infested with things like DEI. Yeah, some of it is they may want to do that, but some of it is the accreditors tell them you have to do that. Well, as president, I'll make sure we're approving accreditors that are going to do the opposite. That are going to say, you know what, we're going to accredit you if you are a colorblind university, if you're not trying to divide people on the basis of race. So there are different tools at your disposal. It's not the same as a governor, but I think you can have an impact across a wide variety of different areas.
All right. One of the things I didn't hear him talk about was the Department of Education, and maybe that was during the tech glitches at Twitter. But I want to know, is he going to dismantle and defund the Department of Education? Is he going to defund any public university, which, by the way, the president has the power to do that, to defund any public university that refuses to protect free speech? He said absolutely nothing wrong. I agree with everything Governor DeSantis said. But as president, what are you going to do? Now, the one area that I do have a problem with is telling a private business what they can and cannot do. First of all, we ought not to be giving any private businesses special privileges. You're going to either take care of everybody or nobody. That's the way it's got to be, at least in my book. So I have a problem with the fact that Disney is out there getting these special privileges. Now, it's one thing to take away those privileges, but it's another to tell Disney how to run their business. It's another to tell Anheuser-Busch how to run their business. That's the job of the consumer. It's not the job of the government to do. I know a lot of conservatives disagree with me on this, but I'm telling you, if we open up that Pandora's box, they're going to start coming after conservatives, and they already have. Again, we should not be telling Christian bakers and wedding planners what sort of business they ought to be running. Government needs to stay out of the way. Now, a lot of you people are weighing in on our Facebook page today. By the way, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Ricky says, Bill O'Reilly said he doesn't blame Trump for being mad at DeSantis. Nancy says, I think DeSantis is more interested in stopping Trump than anything else. I've just got a bad vibe about him. I'll stay with Trump. Others are saying that it's time for Trump to stand aside. Robert says, I can't stand Trump, so I'm up for anyone else. So what say you, ladies and gentlemen? Let's go to the phones. Nathan in Ohio. All right, Nathan, who you got in 2024?
Hey, Todd. As of right now, I've got Trump for two primary reasons. One, DeSantis, one thing that concerns me is he's a professional politician. He knows what to say, when to say it. He knows how to compromise as a professional politician. So that's one thing that gives me caution. Two, I don't know what kind of kahunas he has yet. You know, he wants to take the moral ground when Trump is, you know, attacking him, whether the things are true or not. But I want to see him be able to stand up because, you know, let's say he wins the primary. What's he going to do when the media, when all these people who are praising him right now, when they turn their backs on him and attack him like they attack Trump? I don't think he's got the guts like Trump does. What's he going to do when people start attacking his family? I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but the day one of Trump's presidency, they were making fun of Barron Trump, right? And Trump came out and said, no, you ain't doing my family out of this. Your beef was with me, not with my kids, not with my family. Now, I say all that to say that if DeSantis wins the primary or somebody else, I will support them 100%. But as of right now, I'm for Trump as president and Tim Scott for vice president.
I like that. I like DeSantis. I just don't know if he's ready yet. But there is a large segment of the talk radio world, and they've been marginalized by Trump, so they've embraced DeSantis. They think that's going to give them a platform, and that's going to give them prestige. and it very well may. But at the end of the day, I need to know where this guy stands. And I'm with you, Nathan. I think we need to know how DeSantis is going to handle the hate and the vitriol. And it's not going to, if he can't handle what's coming at him from Trump, he's going to have big problems when it comes to the media. So I think Trump is doing all of us a great service right now by poking at DeSantis to try and figure out whether or not he is a fighter. And right now, it looks as though the campaign strategy is not to mention Trump's name at all. I didn't hear Trump's name mentioned 1 second in that Fox News interview last night. Nathan, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Jarvin in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on Nuga Radio. Hey, Jarvin, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, my friend? Pretty good. Well, I mean, we all know what's really going on. I mean, you say Joe Biden is whatever the vice president's name is. I mean, I don't even see her. I don't even know her name. But we know the elite is behind all of this. I mean, we know this. I mean, the government, the schools, the poisoning of the food, the water, the derailments. I mean, we know what's going on. So, I mean,
you know, Jarvin, it's interesting that you bring that up. I want to play some audio. This is actually coming from a guy on Fox News talking about who's actually running the DeSantis campaign. Cut number 17, please.
He's not great as far as campaign skills. He may get there, but he doesn't have them yet. And
who's running his campaign?
The Bushes are all tangled up with him. Bush, that can raise him $1 billion and get him all kinds of money.
Jeb Bush. George Bush.
Yeah, they're great.
Karl Rove involved. Karl Rove is involved.
I assume he'll be the coach on the field. I think he is.
But do you know that he's been advising DeSantis?
He's been advising him.
So there you go. This is back to your point. It's the elites on both parties, by the way, Jarvin, who are actually calling the shots in this.
Don't forget the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and all them weirdos. Don't forget them.
Well, there you go. Jarvin, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Jim in Maine, WLOB. Hey, Jim, what you got?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great to talk with you again. So the Trump DeSantis thing, I'm leaning towards a lot of the things that I've heard you say in the past. Trump got absolutely crushed, and his agenda got crushed by the criminals on the left, as far as I'm concerned. They held up everything. They all the fake court, all the fake accusations, the hoaxes. And I do believe that, although I think Trump can be a little bit overly boisterous and loudmouth, I still agreed with what he was doing. And I think he's going to come back much, much smarter this time. And I want to give him round two. I really do. I talk to my brothers who are fairly liberal, and the conversation always goes back to their hate for Trump. And I had to say to my other brother this morning, I said, I am just in awe that your hatred and vitriol is not directed at the people who deceived you and lied about everything. Instead, you still keep hating Trump. Why aren't you mad about what they did? And they don't care. It's just amazing.
Jim, they don't care. And if you would actually ask these never Trumpers, who do you hate more, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? They're going to say Donald Trump. They despise him more than the Democrats, who lied and smeared Donald Trump's name for years. They've been doing this knowing everything they were spewing about the president was a flat out lie. And now we have a situation where you have these young, and by the way, all of these influencers are right about Ron DeSantis's age. And it's not so much, I think I may have made a mistake yesterday when I said they're looking for a Camelot. No, I don't think they are. I think they're looking for an Obama moment. They want a Republican Obama, and somebody who is photogenic, and I guess an Obama-JFK fusion. Photogenic, great-looking wife, great-looking kids, and someone who they consider to be an intellectual. So I think when they look at Donald Trump, They look at him as being someone who is uncouth. That's what they're doing here.
Yeah, I mean, DeSantis does have the look. I do like him. I agree with you. I've heard you say a lot of things over and over, and I'm in agreement. And I do like DeSantis. I like what he's done in Florida. But I think some of the people around him and supporting him and behind him are those are the people I am leery of. And I sometimes I look at some of the things he's doing, and I'm like, oh boy. He might be good, but I fear if he got in, he'd be swept away.
Jim, there's a reason why Trump is so outspoken about this. He clearly knows something behind the scenes that we don't. And we now know that the Bushes are pushing the campaign. You've got Jeb, George W., you've got Karl Rove in the mix, you've got the Cheneys, and I suspect you're going to have the Koch brothers. There's going to be a lot of establishment support going to DeSantis. And here's the thing people need to understand. That comes with a price, right? They're going to demand access to the White House, and they're going to demand that Ron DeSantis do their bidding. I would if I was in that position. So it's a lot for people to pay attention to. Jim, appreciate that call. And again, this doesn't mean that there's anything bad about Ron DeSantis. We just really don't know who he is just yet and how he would run the country as president. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Let's see. You've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschatz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. So many of you have been following along on the weight loss journey, which is slow, but it's supposed to be slow. I'm doing well and doing the exercise and taking Calitrin, which is a pretty remarkable thing. I got a message from somebody yesterday, and I said they were wondering about, well, okay, what exactly is in this? Is it a drug? Is it a stimulant? No, it is not. It is drug-free. And it is stimulant-free, which is great for me. But look, if you go to their website or give them a call, they're going to work you through all of this and answer all of your questions. But I can tell you that thanks to Calitrin, I've dropped, 8, 9, 10 pounds so far. So it's working. Not only that, I'm sleeping a lot better. I'm sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night now. Normally it was, 4 hours, so tops. So give them a call, 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOP-LOSS for information. Use my promo code Todd. You can also go on their website, toploss.com, and they'll be able to help you out there as well. And again, this is a great little product. We're excited to be partnering with them. It really is the number one choice for healthy weight loss and safe weight loss, and they've been doing this for 26 years. It's a great company based right here in Tennessee, and I just love all the great products. And they produce, if you go to their website, they have all the science. They talk about the side benefits and also the success rate. So they have a lot of personal testimonies and stories. So I would definitely encourage you to check that out. All right, our good friend Robin Poppin's going to drop by in the next hour, giving her thoughts, her take on yesterday's DeSantis launch. Also, we're going to check in later with Jeffrey Lord, who's covered a lot of elections over the years, And we're going to be looking forward to a conversation with him. And we're going to be checking in with our resident young Republican, Riley Neesant. Will give us an update on what young voters are looking for. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls. That telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, all of our new listeners, head over to the website and be sure to download our free podcast, one of the top 100 podcasts in all of America, thanks to you good people. All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I can tell you, Trey, in Florida, we united the Republicans like no one's ever done. I think I got 98% of Republicans in my reelection. We also really expanded the tent, and I think that's the only way that you can do it. There'll be slings and arrows, but I'm a big boy. I can take it. You know, there's a lot of people that have given a lot more than that so that this country can be free. You can see their tombstones in places like Arlington National Cemetery. So if the sacrifice I have to make is people are going to call me names, that pales into comparison with so many people have done for me throughout history so that I could live in a free country.
Okay. Wow. That's Ron DeSantis yesterday on Fox News with Trey Gowdy. I think he actually has a thin skin, and I think the name calling actually bothers him a lot. And you can see that in some of these press gatherings when the reporters get on his nerves. That's we're going to see how that plays out, because you can't keep that hidden much longer. And there will be an outburst. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us. Hour two of the big show underway. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, great American patriot and journalist, Robin Poffman, joins us. Robin, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I watched that interview twice last night in its entirety. I watched it alone, and then I watched it again with my husband, Todd. And I have to tell you, I loved the format. I thought it was very well placed that Trey Gowdy did the interview with Ron DeSantis, in that he sat back, he put the needle on the record and let the record play. There was no interruption. He let the guy talk. And, you know, people like yourself, obviously you have your opinion about, like, what you just said, that some of the name calling, Trump calling him Ron DeSanctimonious, et cetera, is starting to show, and the thin skin and all of that. I think I agree with you on that point, in that Ron DeSantis doesn't have the miles on the odometer that Donald Trump has. However, I do actually think he could win this election, because there are enough people out there that don't like, especially, you know, soccer moms, that don't like the mean tweets. On the Republican side as well, I have lady friends in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they don't like that kind of locker room talk that you get with Donald Trump, even though he's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to handling Little Rocket Man and all these other, you know, crazy world leaders and bad actors we have out there. You know, they're all afraid of the crazy man, so he's large and in charge. But with Ron DeSantis, what he has going for him is that he got reelected by 20 points. And I did like the line where he said something to the effect of, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said something to the effect of, you know, you can call me anything you want as long as you call me a winner. And of the 30 minutes, that's what really stuck with me, because as a person, I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and I've been vacationing since the virus took hold in 2020. Where have I been going on vacation? To the state of Florida, which was totally open during the coronavirus. And I think that the people need to look at that, at how this man himself, with no help from anyone else, led during one of the worst times in recent history in our country.
Now, Robin, my take on that interview is a lot different. I thought it was a bad interview. I thought that Gowdy looked way too relaxed, leaning back in the chair, not even a single piece of paper or a pen to jot down a thought or a question. It was pretty clear all the questions were scripted. DeSantis mm-hmm. knew what was coming. And I felt like that an interview of that magnitude, that should have been in studio, in person, with someone who is capable of handling those kinds of interviews, where you can, it's not necessarily pushing back, but asking those follow-up questions. We really didn't get a lot based, again, we knew most of the stuff that DeSantis was going to say, but I'm curious about Ukraine, and I want to know whether or not he is going to pull those troops out, or if we're going to put troops on the ground there. I want to know about his economic policies. How is he going to deal with China? I think those are the issues, and I think it was a missed opportunity, and I'm really wondering why Fox chose Gowdy, especially since they're longtime friends. I mean, they're best buds going back to the days in Congress.
Yeah, I have a thought on a bunch of things that you just said. Well, first of all, the reason they chose Gowdy was the 8 o'clock time slot and the fact that the two of them knew each other. And I think that Hannity is a Trump loyalist, and I think that Laura Ingraham is a Trump loyalist. And so where else, if you're Fox, are you going to put that interview? So that would be number one. Number two, I think that, yes, I agree with you that it was scripted. But number three, my gut when I watched it is that I'm a high information voter, and you're a high information voter on the nature of what we do for a living. Politics, this is our Super Bowl, right, Todd? But I think that that was aimed at low information voters and people throughout the United States that maybe don't know who Ron DeSantis is, and that the only thing they know about this man is that he's been in a battle with Disney and that he's banned some books. I mean, I have mentioned his name to people I know personally in my inner circle, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's the governor of Florida who banned some books, and, you know, he's in this battle with Mickey Mouse and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, there's a lot more to it than that. And I don't think that that was aimed at people that already are in the DeSantis camp. I think they probably got to about 20 different questions. I walked away with it not really learning anything new for me, because I'm really well-versed in who this man is. But I think for people who fall into that low-information voter category, that they possibly learned a lot, that here's someone who was in the Navy, who has experience in the U.S. military, who runs the state of Florida like a business, that he's the one whose name is, you know, he's signing the documents. He wants to build the wall. I mean, if your issue is border security and 10 million illegals walking around this country unaccounted for, which is my number one issue, then he's your guy or Trump's your guy. And what's going to differentiate these two is, and I really think at the end of the day, it's going to come, I know this is so superficial, it's going to come down to age, Todd, that we have had wild swings in this country. If you look back to the history of presidents, we go from old to young and young to old and old to young. Think about Obama when he was running. You were in the You Decide 2008 campaign. So was I, working for Fox Radio back in the day. And I remember being with John McCain in South Carolina, and he didn't know how to use his BlackBerry. I mean, you have to rewind the clock, of course, to BlackBerry technology and not, you know, Apple iPhone. But he looked and sounded like an old man. And then here's this young guy who's, you know, the cool cat. And I remember being with Barack Obama in New Hampshire on a freezing cold night, and thousands of people turned out for him, black, white, old, young. And the Verizon Stadium that he was speaking in, or whatever it was called, I believe that was the name of it, he had 10,000 people on a night where it was 2 degrees below zero turning out to see this guy. And everyone said, oh, he's so smooth, he's so young, he's so this, he's so that. Yeah, compared to John McCain at the time. And I think that the fact that Biden is so old and is suffering from terrible dementia and is clearly out of touch. I mean, everyone knows it. Everyone sees it. Oh, by the way, including Hillary Clinton. I think that he's so old that just your gut instinct, people's gut instinct, is to go for the young guy.
It was, and to that point, and this is, I'm just completely confused by the rollout here with the whole Twitter thing. That was a mess. And by the way, most people are really not on Twitter. I mean, there are a lot of people, but not that many, and especially older Americans, they were going to have a hard time listening in. It, to your point, though, if you're going to establish yourself as sort of that JFK slash Obama Republican, why not hold a big rally? Why not bring the wife and the kids and put everybody on the stage? And I know that will probably happen down the road. But if you really want to define your campaign and kick it off with that mindset, I think this was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree there. This did not have the imprint of the...
It wasn't coming down the golden escalator, was it?
No, there was no golden escalator. I certainly didn't plan that party. And certainly, you know who didn't? Kellyanne Conway wasn't involved. And that's very clear because it was missing... Like you say, that Trump, the golden arches and the golden elevator and you know, that whole Trump branding thing. It is lacking a branding. I agree with you. But I think that in this environment, when you have, even though there are a lot of people out there that still support the former president and believe that he's the only person that can set this country straight and get back on the right train track to victory, I think that if anything happens with Trump medically, you know, because given his age, I'm not wishing anything bad on anyone. But again, he's, you know, in his late 70s. If anything happens to him medically or he changes his mind or, you know, it was interesting. Someone I know who's very close to me said, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a President DeSantis and we used Trump as Secretary of State, traveling around to all these countries with all these bad actors, they would all not be acting badly. Think about that.
I mean, it is something to think about. I'm looking at the polls, and you and I have been in the business long enough to know that polls change daily. But the new Emerson College poll, Trump up, what, 40-plus points over DeSantis in Iowa. So let's just say that there is a tightening of the race, and we could... I just don't see the DeSantis supporters going anywhere. I don't see the Trump supporters going anywhere. My question is, what if we find ourselves in the middle of a battle going into the RNC? You could have a contested convention here, and that could get really interesting, going all the way back to, what was it when Jerry Ford ran for his own 4-year term and had a big battle with Reagan at the day?
Yeah, you really have to rewind the clock. I would say this to you, Todd, that it would be very fascinating to cover something like that happening. But I think that there's unforeseen events that have not unfolded yet. We still have a lot of time between now and then. It's going to be interesting to see the debates, how this plays out on a debate stage. I would love to see Trump go at it with Ron DeSantis and what that looks like, and then the takeaway of the American people and how that's going to be, because you know that Donald Trump is going to take his gloves off. You know that he's still angry that he believes that the last election was stolen from him. And so, you know, when people have an axe to grind, just by human nature, you know that he even though he's done the job already, it's more than that. It's about that he feels that he got, you know, screwed over in the last election and wants to right the wrongs that have gone on for the last 2 years, and then it'll be 4 years. But go ahead.
Robin, we had Monica Lewinsky. We had Monica Crowley on the show yesterday. The other would have been a wow factor. Monica Crowley was on the show. And she said Trump has to knock it off. We cannot have a campaign looking at the past. We've got to be forward thinking here. And I completely agree with that assessment. If people need to be aggrieved, it needs to be the American voters. And we need to let that be heard at the ballot box. But Trump needs to put forward a positive spin on where this country is going to go under his leadership. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. And also this question, ultimately, Trump and DeSantis pretty much agree on everything. So are we dealing more? This is really style over policy.
It is, and please do not discount the three-letter word of age, A-G-E. Age is going to play in. People don't even realize, Todd, that you know how I always talk about body language and, you know, people don't have to speak. They're speaking themselves without the words coming out if you watch them, right? You and I have always talked about body language and profiling of people. And I just think that subconsciously the American voters want the new toy. They want somebody young and fresh. And if the DeSantis, like you say, and I agree with you, again, go back, and I encourage everyone to watch this Gowdy interview, leaving his style out of it for the content of DeSantis' positions on everything, they are identical to Trump. The key factor is, can he translate what he's done, the blueprint of the state of Florida, can he translate that to every other state in the United States? Do I believe he can do it? Yes. Maybe it's just not his time. I think that diehard conservatives would like to see Trump right the wrongs of the last 2 years and the next two that are coming, and then maybe DeSantis after him. Maybe it's not his time. Maybe he's the next guy in line on the throne, right? You know, timing is everything, but I do see why he's in it to win it. If I'm Donald Trump, agreeing with Monica Crowley, the very first thing I do is go back to the winning strategy that Kellyanne Conway, when she was by his side and she was his pollster and she was doing everything she did in 2015 and 2016, whoever was there behind the scenes when he went down the golden escalator needs to be back there again, because that was the winning formula.
All right. Good stuff. Robin, we have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. And I'm glad we're finally disagreeing about something after all these years.
It's finally nuanced. Who do you think, if it was today, if the election was tomorrow, do you think DeSantis could pull it off over Trump between the two of them in a primary?
Great question. And Robin, I am super late for a break. I will answer that on the flip side. Great hearing from you, Robin.
You're the best.
We'll be right back. All right, Robin Poppin says age is going to be the nugget. So there are a lot of things that could happen, and especially world events. And she believes that the American people are going to want somebody young, somebody vibrant, somebody that is not Dianne Feinstein in the White House. And that person could be Ron DeSantis. Do you agree or disagree with that? Do you believe age is going to be a factor in what happens in 2024? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to get to your calls after the bottom of the hour news break, so hang tight. We want to make sure that that we have enough time to chat with all of you. But regardless, a lot of polling data out there, and I'm sure we're going to get the early results of the polls from yesterday, maybe later on this afternoon. We'll keep you posted and have all of that information up at toddstearns.com. Also, at Todd Stearns on Twitter, we do have a survey out, and the question, very simple, for Trump supporters: did Governor DeSantis win you over yesterday? Yes or no? So far, 75% say no, he did not. So what say you? 844-747-8868. Go vote on the poll and then give us a call and have your say. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Looking forward to sharing some exciting news about Newsmax coming up. It's going to be fun. We'll tell you more about it. We're teasing you a little bit, but we're excited about some great opportunities coming up with Newsmax TV in the coming days. In the meantime, let's head over to the phone lines, and a lot of people wanting to weigh in here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship radio station, KWAM. Nan, what is on your mind today?
I was impressed with the interview with Trey Gowdy. I like the format of just letting the candidate speak instead of interrupting, trying to steer the conversation. Even though I think Trump was the best president we ever had, he's teaching young children how to be bullies by name-calling, talking down to people, being disrespectful. It's over. That's a dead way to do. I understand that's a lot of politics, but come on.
Nan, was there a breaking point for you? Was there a moment when you decided enough is enough with Trump?
As I said, I think he's the best president we've ever had, policy-wise, although his demeanor is just so unclassy. Just his bullying, calling people names, and giving them awful nicknames that stuck through the campaign, and I didn't like it. I voted for him, but I'm not going to the second go-round with this kind of buffoonery.
Now, if Trump is not your guy, Nan, who do you like? Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, DeSantis?
At this point, DeSantis.
All right. Nan, we've got you down, and I suspect there are a lot of people out there, and we've heard from them over the years, feel the same way that you do, that the name-calling is out of line, and it needs to go. But again, I think when you go back to the early days of the campaign, I think what set Trump apart was his mindset of, we're going to be friends, but if you attack me, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to punch back twice as hard. And that's what he's done. You know, he has not gone out of his way to attack Nikki Haley or Tim Scott. And I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but clearly Trump knows that DeSantis and his team were doing things. And especially if the Bushes and the Cheneys are involved, well, there's bad blood there. All right, let's go to Pete in Iowa. Hey, Pete, what you got for us?
Hey, it's Trump or nothing. Yesterday, I was looking at Ron DeSantis' background, and he came out of Ivy League school, Navy lawyer, JAG lawyer, Gitmo lawyer, SEAL team lawyer, DOJ lawyer, and then a U.S. rep and governor of Florida. He's, you know, it's almost like the Bo Biden track. About to get to a lawyer in the government and say you're a war hero or whatever. Trump, other than 4 years, wasn't a politician. He built buildings. He developed golf courses. He's done, he's produced stuff. DeSantis is the same as back to Clinton, back to Biden, to Obama. You know, you almost have to go back to Reagan that actually had a job. You know, George Bush Sr. was an ambassador. Bush Jr. was the son of a president and a politician. And, you know, you almost have to go to President Carter, who was a nuclear submarine commander. He ran the family peanut business in Georgia. But everything's about, you know, even Kamala Harris was a lawyer. And
Pete, I mean, that's a good observation. And you're right. I mean, going back to Reagan, who was a lifeguard, then he went into radio and was a pretty popular radio host back in the 1930s and then went on into the movies. But Reagan had a career outside of government. And so, to your point, I think that's a fair assessment. Pete, appreciate that call. To that point, I want to play the opening of Trey Gowdy's interview, which was really flattering when it came to DeSantis. Cut 21.
Good evening and welcome to Fox News Tonight. Thank you for watching. Ron DeSantis does not have the biography of recent GOP nominees for president. He was born and grew up in Florida, but his family was not famous, not steeped in finance or politics. They were decidedly middle class. His mother was a nurse. His father installed television boxes. He attended public schools, played in the Little League World Series, and did well enough in the classroom and on the baseball diamond to make it to Yale University, where he captained the baseball team. While at Yale, he signed up for the Navy, served in uniform in a number of capacities, and stayed in the military until shortly after he became governor of Florida. And as governor, he led Florida through the pandemic, earning praise from the right and derision from the left. And the people of Florida seemed to like his first term. He was reelected in overwhelming numbers last fall. And today he announced his candidacy to be the next president of the United States, and he joins us now for his first television interview since that announcement. And we will keep him longer than most guests so we can ask him about his plans for the country as well as how he will address the issues confronting our culture and our country. I can't promise you that I won't crash, but Fox News will not crash during this interview. Governor DeSantis, if you broke Twitter, my daughter and the Kardashians are going to be very upset with you. I don't know if that's what happened with Elon Musk or not. Maybe he just had a big audience.
And you know, it's interesting. That was a pretty good smack at Twitter. But honestly, Gowdy should have asked DeSantis's reaction to the fact that Twitter failed and that they did have a tech glitch. And if I'm Ron DeSantis, I'm pretty upset with Twitter right now. It was, again, a missed opportunity. But there you have it. As if there is something wrong with being born into a family that has been successful financially or a family that has a famous name. You know, the great irony is that even though Trey Gowdy may look at that and frown on that, I would say that Donald Trump has made more of a connection as a multimillionaire with blue-collar Americans than many middle-class Republican lawmakers. Just want to throw that out there. All right, let's go to Sacramento, California. Chester on the line. Hey, Chester, what you got?
Yeah, well, I voted for Trump just because I didn't want to see the Clintons back in there, and I didn't know what kind of president he'd be. I thought he was all right. But Trump has a way of alienating a lot of people unless they're really good followers. You know, I'm not saying that I'm alienated, but he lost the election, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that could come on again and gain new followers. If he's able to hold on to the last ones, he's still going to lose. I think the Republican Party has to pick out who has the best chance of winning the White House. And as much as I like Trump, I don't like his chances.
Chester,
if your horse ran second in the Kentucky Derby and somebody beat him pretty good, are you going to bet on him in the Preakness?
It's a fair question. And Chester, look, that's going to be a challenge for the president. Where will he find the numbers he needs? And he has got to be able. First of all, we've got to have all the Republicans voting, even people who don't like Trump. We've got to get them on board. And then we have to deal with the independents, and we've got to reach out to them as well. So, yeah, I hear you. And especially if he's going to be going up against a Hillary Clinton or a Michelle Obama, it will be mandatory that we have those numbers.
The left just has too many things to say about Trump, and they're just going to keep those on-the-fence people away from Trump. That's all I can say.
Chester, I spent many good years.
I think that's my prognosis.
All right. Well, I spent many good years in Sacramento working at KFBK there in the Sacramento area. Good buddy, Tom Sullivan. So we love Tom.
Okay.
All right. Good talking. Thanks, Chester. All right. Sacramento. It's a great town, by the way. Love it. Best part, no earthquakes. At least when I was there. So it wasn't on a fault line. Really appreciated that. All right, let's go to Maria in North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there. Hi, Maria. What say you, Trump or DeSantis?
I say Trump deserves his second term. I like DeSantis, but I would first like to see Trump get his second term. Earlier in the week, you had a caller voicing opinions for evangelicals, and a lot of people are against his strong personality. I say we are voting for a president, not a pastor. We need someone who has the strength, the courage, and the backbone, and has proven that he has all those characters to stand in defense of and to fight for America. I say give Trump his second term and vote for your pastor at church. Vote for president in the voting booth.
Wow. I like Maria. Thank you for that. And look, it's great advice. And you're right. We're not electing a pastor. We're really not. Maria, we got to skedaddle. God bless you. And thanks for our great listeners in Hendersonville, North Carolina. All right, folks. The question, very simple, and it's for you Trump supporters. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is very simple. Did Ron DeSantis change your mind? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, well, that was a busy break. Just got word that President Trump wants to come back on the show. We are working out the details, and so we'll keep you updated on that. Isn't it interesting, though? You've got Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy, Larry Elder. You've got all these folks that have been on the program time and time again, and yet Ron DeSantis will not come onto this program. And it does make you wonder, what the heck? All right, I want to go to the phones. Yes, I said phones, plural. We have two folks from Florida. We have Dora from Florida, and we also have Mark from the Villages in Florida. Dora, Mark, hope you guys are doing well. Say hello to each other. Hello, Dora.
Yeah, we're about 20 miles apart from each other, I believe. The Villages is 20 miles below me.
All right. Well, and Mark, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
All right. So I'm going to start with Dora. I'm curious to know, I mean, you're there in Florida. Ron DeSantis, your governor. Who do you like in 2024?
Trump.
And why is that?
Well, I'll tell you there, Todd. He is the first president in my lifetime that's kept us out of war. He's kept the peace. And we're facing, I don't know what people are thinking, we're facing the possibility of nuclear war with China. We've got the neocons having us in Ukraine. And Trump never did that to us. He brought all our troops home. He kept us safe. And damn it, he's got gravitas. He could get out there and fix this, I believe. DeSantis doesn't have the authority to command a room. How is he going to command the United States of America?
Mark, what do you think about what Dora just said there?
She's spot on, Todd. I totally agree with her. You know, you look at the GOP mega donors urging Trump to drop out of 2024 because they want a younger generation. We don't want a younger generation. We want someone who has proven himself and can get us back to where we need to be. And that person's Trump. Then DeSantis can run in 2028. We don't have time for a new person. They want to believe that DeSantis is that person, and he's not. They want someone that can control DeSantis. They want someone that can control DeSantis.
All right. Dora, what about, let me bring Dora into this. Now, Dora, you heard Mark there. We had Robin Poffman, our great journalist friend, and she says age is going to be a factor here. Do you find that to be the case? Is age going to be a factor?
Well, of course it is, but it shouldn't be the determining factor as far as Trump is concerned. You know, DeSantis, I appreciate him. He's done a good job in Florida, but he's a neocon. He hasn't come out against the Ukrainian war. He is also a globalist. He is not America first. He's a pretty picture. You look at the picture of him and his family, it's admirable, but it looks like JFK back in the 60s when I was growing up. It's a perfect picture with a perfect resume. He's perfectly well-spoken. He's got all of the nice, fine finesses, but he's not going to keep us out of war. He's not going to keep the peace. He's not going to bring jobs back to America. And he certainly is not going to get rid of the swamp that's killing us in Washington.
Mark, I'm curious, has DeSantis done a good job governing Florida? I mean, from my vantage point in Tennessee, it looks like he's done a pretty darn good job.
Todd, he has done a good job in Florida. But like Dora said, he can run Florida well, but when you're running you're on a world stage, that's a whole different beast, you know. And I haven't seen enough of him to say, okay, yeah, he's that person. I don't even know if I would vote for him if he was the only person, Todd. I really don't, because again, you got to prove to me that you can do what Trump has done, and you know that's what he has to do. But you know, Trump has to focus. He needs to stay focused on Biden and what this administration's failures are. And God knows there's a lot of them.
All right.
Biden itself to keep Trump busy enough to stay away from Fast and DeSantis.
Mark, Dora, we appreciate you both and calling in from Florida and giving us some insight there. This is going to be fascinating. It really is, because we are really looking at a party that I suspect may be divided. The polling data suggests otherwise. The polling data at this point says this is Donald Trump's race, hands down. I mean, in a landslide. But a lot can change between now and Election Day. And Dora has a very good point about war, that Trump kept us out of war. And she is correct. We are on the verge of nuclear war with China. Gordon Chang has said as much, and he says it will be the most catastrophic war in the history of the world. We've got, 55 United States senators that are being given emergency satellite phones, preparing for some sort of a disruptive event. You've got, how many tons of chemicals and explosive materials that's gone missing off a train from Wyoming bound for California? There's some crazy stuff going down. So, again, a lot can change over the next couple of months, and we got a long way to go, But it's going to be a fun ride, and I can't think of a better place to have that conversation, to have that debate, than right here on the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, folks, stick around. Hour 3 coming up. Jeffrey Lords here, Riley Neeson, and your calls as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. Where is that story? Ah, yes, here we go. I have a large stack of stuff here today. So, some big news coming out of George Washington University there in D.C. They're finally getting a new nickname, a new mascot. Apparently, the students were upset over the Colonials mascot. Get that? The George Washington Colonials. That was the original nickname back in 1926. And the whole point of it was to honor the 13 colonies who secured our independence from the British. Anyway, the modern-day children at George Washington say the Colonials were a symbol of systemic oppression. However, if you attended a private school or a homeschool, you know that we actually owe the Colonials a debt of gratitude for what they did. Anyway, nobody cares about that anymore. So George Washington has finally announced the new name of their athletic teams. They will be known as the Revolutionaries. 47,000 suggestions, and that's the winner. So anyway, somebody suggested the Founding Fathers, but I suspect the gals who wear the sensible shoes put the kibosh on that. Go figure. I actually submitted a couple of recommendations. Dylan, I know you're a big sports fan, and I want to run the names I suggested by you to see what you thought. I wanted to call them the GW Snowflakes.
I like that one. I like
and that one. The Red Stars. So, okay. A bunch of communists. My third one, though, I think this is my favorite. As an homage to the Democrat Party, I was going to call them the George Washington University Braying Asses.
Oh, I think that one's my favorite.
Yeehaw, so yeehaw. Yeah, there you go. All right, that's it. All right, glad to have you with us today. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great American patriot. He is our resident young Republican, Riley Neeson. Riley, how are things going?
They're good, sir. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So I'm curious. Every single one of our guests today has taken the opposing view of who I support. And the big question I have in this Trump versus DeSantis world, who, Riley, as a young Republican, are you supporting?
Well, I'm going to throw you for a loop, and I'm supporting Nikki Haley.
Okay, I'm just ending the show now. I'm just, geez, Alou. All right. Well, no, this is fascinating, and I'm curious to hear you explain why you support Nikki Haley.
Honestly, I'm kind of just over Trump and DeSantis altogether. I would obviously support either one of them as the Republican nominee, but in the primaries, I kind of want someone new, someone fresh.
And Nikki Haley, she fits that bill for you.
She does, better than the other options.
So you look at Haley. She served as ambassador. She was governor of South Carolina, which is certainly helpful in the early primaries. Are there anything that you admire as far as policy goes with Nikki Haley?
You know, she just seems to be a very true conservative that I support. There's not really any specific policy that drives me to her, though, if I'm being honest. It's more about the demeanor that attracts me to her.
So you're done with the bombast, you're done with the name-calling, and you're just, we've got to get somebody new, somebody who is going to govern.
Yeah. And I do think that Trump and or DeSantis could do a great job, but I just think that we need some calmness right now. It's been kind of wild politically.
Oh, no doubt about it. But I got to go back to something. What did you call the governor of Florida? What was his last name?
DeSantis.
No, you said DeSantis. No, you did. Hold on. This is like a huge thing here, Riley. Hold tight. All right, Dylan, do we have the audio? All right. So, Riley, I want you to listen closely because it's hard. People don't know his name. We have people calling in, and they're actually supporters of DeSantis. People are calling in, and they're supporting Ron DeSantis. And that's not his name. But even Ron DeSantis, Riley, doesn't even know his name. This is cut 14 and 15. Let's play this for Riley.
I'm Ron DeSantis. Hi, this is Governor Ron DeSantis.
See, it's DeSantis, DeSantis, DeSantis. You know, Riley, yeah, maybe I need I to support Nikki Haley. I'm curious. We had Robin Poffman on, and Robin and I have known each other for 20-plus years, and she's a pretty good read of people, and she says that age is going to be a factor here. What about you? Is that a big deal going into this, that the age of the candidates?
It really is. I'm kind of sick of 80-plus-year-old people telling the whole country what to do.
I remember years ago, which is how you got on my radar, is you sent me an essay you wrote, basically calling for term limits. You know, we don't need old people running Congress. We need to have some younger folks up there.
I stand by that. And maybe it's some sort of competency test, because I'm certain that Biden would not pass that.
For you, Riley, going into the election, what is the big issue for you? Is there something that's really driving you to get out and vote?
You know, I think that a lot of people in the Republican Party specifically have lost what it means to be a true conservative. And I think that that's something that I'm pretty passionate about. And so that's something that I'm going to be looking for when I go to the polls, and definitely something driving me towards the polls.
What do you mean by that? What, in your estimation, what does it mean to be a conservative Republican?
Just fiscally, spending your money wisely, maintaining traditional values, family first type of policy. I feel like we've lost touch of that in America in a lot of different ways, and I feel like that really needs to be focused on right now.
Yeah. It's a fair point. All right, Riley, we're going to leave it there. You are on the Nikki Haley, so we're marking you down, Nikki Haley, and we will see how we're going to check in with you further on down the road here to see how that goes. Are you planning on climbing any mountains or scaling any mountain peaks this summer?
Probably just a couple.
Okay, all right. You're kind of like our resident, I don't know, Paul Bunyan, the mountain man guy.
Yep.
All right. Be safe out there. Don't fall off any mountain ledges.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Riley Neesant, ladies and gentlemen, one of our young conservatives, and he says, hey, Nikki Haley, he's not wrong about something. Fiscal responsibility. Nobody seems to want to talk about that. I know it's not a sexy topic, but it's important, and it really is what sets us apart from everybody else, right? I'm just saying. All right, I have got to get myself better organized here. We have an update on this story out of California with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I want to share this with you. Our good buddy, Dr. Paul Chappell, he is a huge sports fan. He loves sports, and he's especially been a big Dodgers fan. And so anyway, Dr. Chappell is really upset over the invitation that the Dodgers gave to these pornographic nuns, right? Have you heard about them? The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Of course you have, because we've been talking about it all week. So the Dodgers have not only reinvited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, but they're giving them an award. And they're doing terrible things. So anyway, Pastor Chappell, they typically take all of the college kids at West Coast Baptist College, they take them to Dodger Stadium, they take them to the baseball games, and they are very involved in promoting the Dodgers baseball club. Anyway, Dr. Chappell, the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College, wrote the Dodgers a letter, and I want to share this with you. I'm writing to share my extreme disappointment over your recent invitation and re-invitation to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a group whose entire identity is to mock and denigrate Catholics by engaging in blasphemous and sacrilegious activities. As the pastor of a Baptist church here in Los Angeles County, by the way, 9,000 members, huge church. Anyway, as the pastor of a Baptist church here in Los Angeles County, I am obviously not a Roman Catholic, but I am appalled at the announcements that you are planning to honor a group that disrupts and spews hatred toward people of faith. For over 40 years, I have brought my children and grandchildren, as well as our church family and college students, to Dodgers games. We have purchased many thousands of tickets. But if you, and this is all in bold, but if you indeed choose to honor this group, please understand that my family, Lancaster Baptist Church, and West Coast Baptist College will never patronize the Dodgers again. He goes on to say, corporate America has so embraced the woke philosophies and ESG principles of our day that many corporations have become insensitive to and even intolerant of millions of customers. These customers are waking up to themselves and deciding they don't want to patronize organizations that are more interested in appeasing the extreme elements of the LGBTQ movement than in fulfilling their basic services to their customers. I urge you not to follow that path. Let Dodgers games be an opportunity for people to simply enjoy the sport of baseball as fans. Why make the sport a platform to uplift groups that aggressively antagonize a large segment of your fan base? Let alone a group that openly and obscenely mocks people of faith. What a great letter. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to follow this example here. And these are the kinds of letters that we need to start sending to Major League Baseball, to Target, By the way, I'm curious, and we asked our local folks in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. We asked them to go out to the local Target stores to find out if those transgender exhibits were still erected in the store. Because we're getting reports that some of these displays have actually been moved to the back of the store. So I'm curious, if you've been to the Target over the past 48 hours, did you notice, were the displays still there? Have they moved them? More importantly, have you called or gone by and talked to the manager of your local Target and explained to them why you will no longer shop there? All right, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, it's not just Target and it's not just Budweiser. Oh, geez, Lou, I forgot about this. Bud Light, they're literally giving it away, and people aren't taking it. People would rather go thirsty than take a Bud Light. They're literally trying to give it away, and nobody wants it. They're done. Their goose is cooked. Anyway, North Face is even getting involved. They've hired some sort of a freakish drag queen to be the official face of the company. Cut number two.
Hi, it's me, Patagonia, a real-life homosexual, and today I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride. This tour has everything. Hiking, community, art, lesbians, lesbians making art. Last year, we gay saw shade across the nation and celebrated Pride across the nation with hundreds of you across the nation.
This year, we're back again with two new stops.
Atlanta, GA. Why? Because you're there. In Salt Lake City, we're coming for you.
Howdy, can we go?
Lord, warn the Mormons.
This year, all these fabulous speakers will be coming from inside this TV to a nature near you. So come outside and celebrate the beautiful LGHGTV community.
All right, all of you heterosexuals that listen, just hang tight for just a moment. I want to talk to the gay audience that we have. And we have a very diverse audience. So I want to talk to gay listeners of the Todd Stearns radio program for just a moment. Now, you just heard Patagonia announce that he is a homosexual, a gay person. So my question to you is this. Is that you? Do you gay sashay around America? The gay audience of the Todd Stearns radio program. Is that you? Do you talk with a flighty voice and run around in a dress? No, I don't think you do. But this is what North Face is doing. Not only are they mocking all of you heterosexuals out, they're also mocking the homosexuals and the Lebanese people. Pardon me, the lesbians. They're mocking all of us. So this, I'm telling you, there is a battle going on. Now I'm talking to the heterosexuals. So there's a battle going on within the LGBTQ, within the alphabet activist. And so you have the L's and the B's and the G's. And they don't have anything to do with the T's and whatever comes after that. The I's and the A's. Yeah, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And even still, my understanding is that the G's and the L's are sort of suspect of the B's. It's all very confusing. Anyway, all that being said, are you more inclined to go out to Target and North Face and Bud Light now that they've embraced this radical agenda? A lot of people are saying, Todd, what's going on here? Because it's certainly not working out for Target. I mean, their stock is now in the toilet. And then you've got this whole situation with Bud Light, and they could literally crash the entire company. And yet they're standing their ground. And the reason they're standing their ground is they're more afraid of ticking off the human rights campaign than they are ticking off their customers. They would rather go out of business than offend the human rights campaign, which is one of the most radical, anti-heterosexual, anti-Christian domestic terrorist groups out there. And yeah, I do call them terrorists because they're economic terrorists. These are very bad, very, very bad people. Anyway, we'll take your calls to that. I am curious, ladies, if you've been out to Target, because ultimately, ladies, you're going to be the deciding factor on whether or not Target goes out of business. And I say shut them all down. Shut them all down. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's head over to the phones real quick here. Gina in Athens, Georgia, go Bulldogs, hanging out with us on WDUN. Hey, Gina, so I'm curious about the Target. Are you still shopping there?
No, and my daughter and I both are very avid Target shoppers. And last week I was actually there, week before last, a couple weeks ago, and I saw that first ad actually when I was standing in line. And I mentioned it to the cashier, which she was just very nice lady, but just oblivious about everything, you know, thinks that Target's just supporting people. And so we had a discussion about sexualizing children. Well, then after it all really came out, I actually called them earlier this week and told them that we would not be shopping there anymore, that they were just, you know, what people want to do on their own time is their business, but children don't need to know about it, and they certainly don't need to be wearing their clothes. So I said that, and I just told them that, you know, it was a godless thing that they were doing, and I'm not going to give you any more of my money.
Mm, good for you. Now, we've got about 10 seconds here. Who do you like, Trump, DeSantis, Haley?
No Haley. Oh, gosh, no. Absolutely Trump. I do like DeSantis, but he's just already looking too establishment for me.
Okay.
And he'll just be one, I'm afraid, will get in there and just do the same as all the others, which got us into this mess,
yep.
Right?
There you go. Gina, great call. You give us a call back later when we have more time, and good for you. No more Target for Gina. What about you, America? We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, he is a contributing editor for American Spectator. You read his work all the time over at thejeffreylord.com. Jeffrey, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing great, my friend.
You know,
I'm writing a piece on the primary, you know, I mean, with DeSantis in, you there?
You're loud and clear, Jeffrey.
Okay. When DeSantis declared today, Trump, of course, immediately went on the attack. And what I'm saying, in essence, is, hey, this is the way primaries work. And I was recounting in my column, and doubtless you remember this, when John McCain ran against George W. Bush in 2000, McCain ran an upset. And in New Hampshire, which Bush was favored to win. So the primary moved on to South Carolina. And the Bush campaign put out a supposed poll. It was pretty phony, but voters were asked, and I'm reading the question exactly, quote, would you be more or less likely to vote for John McCain if you knew he had fathered an illegitimate black child,
yeah.
Unquote.
I remember that.
this was because the McCains had adopted their dark-skinned daughter, so-called Bridget, from Bangladesh. But, of course, the Bush campaign was implying that Senator McCain had an affair, and she was the illegitimate daughter. So I'm just saying, we're nowhere close to that.
No, we're not.
Yes, but buckle in. These things can be, shall we say, down and dirty.
So I was so impressed. I mean, I was in real time. I must have had 20 email messages from Team Trump on just about every attack position possible. But what I thought was interesting, Jeffrey, and I tried to listen to the Twitter thing. That was a mess. But I did watch the TV interview on Fox. Not once did they mention Trump's name. And I think that's going to be their strategy, is to just rise above it all and not even acknowledge Donald Trump's existence. Is that a winning formula?
Well, I'm not so sure. You know, one of the things that I think people at the base level love about Donald Trump is that he fights. And I had this conversation with him back in 2014. I was interviewing him for the American Spectator. And I said to him, you know, Republicans get upset with their nominees, and at that point we'd had McCain and Romney, because they get savaged by the media and the Democrats, and they don't fight back. And I said, if you run in 2016, would you fight back? And he said, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. I will fight. And I really think no matter who you are, if you're going to get into this, you're going to have to fight. I mean, as somebody who worked for President Reagan, I well remember in the Reagan-Bush showdown in 1980, then-former Ambassador Bush was running around accusing Ronald Reagan of supporting voodoo economics.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, these things, to go back to my childhood, and I've gone back to look this up because the memory stirred. In the Democratic primary in West Virginia in 1960 between John F. Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey, the Kennedys sent the son of the namesake son of Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was, of course, revered in West Virginia, out and around Virginia to accuse Hubert Humphrey, who did not serve in World War II, of being a draft dodger. And JFK was, of course, the hero of PT-109. So my point is, you ain't seen nothing yet with today's launch here. This is going to be brutal, and I think, you know, if you don't fight back, you're at a real disadvantage.
Especially in the early polls, and if they're all to be believed, you know, Trump has a sizable lead. What is it going to take for DeSantis to move that needle?
I frankly think he's going to have to go after Trump and really attack him, but I'm not so sure that it's going to be successful at this point. I mean, the thing that is a bit unusual is that Donald Trump is a former president, and so the base out there knows exactly who he is. I saw an Iowa poll just today that has him like up 30 points or 25 points or some such thing. I just think this is going to be enormously difficult for DeSantis and everybody else because Donald Trump is sort of a unique figure here with this. And I'm not so sure that any of them can pull this off.
Jeffrey Lord on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. On the other side of the aisle, you've got Joe Biden, but do you really think he's going to be able to make it to the end here?
Well, I'm not so sure, and I'll tell you one of the things that has occurred to me, and I've written about this. The entrance of Bob Kennedy Jr. stirred my memory on this. In 1968, there was a lot of unrest in the Democratic Party over Lyndon Johnson and the conduct of the Vietnam War. And there was pressure on Bob Kennedy's father, Robert's namesake father, to run. And Bobby Kennedy Sr. declined to run because his animosity at a personal level against LBJ was so well known that he believed that if he ran, they would think it was all about a personal grudge match. So he doesn't run. And then out of the blue comes Minnesota's Eugene McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, who was not known at the national level. He makes the war the number one issue in the New Hampshire primary. And I remember this part, all these college kids who were, you know, doing hippy dippy type stuff, got haircuts and all cleaned up. Their motto was "Be clean for Gene." They swarmed into New Hampshire, and out of the blue, McCarthy got 42% of the vote, followed, you know, with LBJ getting a few points more. It was a real stunning upset, and that brought Bobby Kennedy into the race, and eventually LBJ dropped out of the race. And I think that there could well be the potential for Bob Kennedy Jr. to stir up significant opposition, maybe not beat him, but enough opposition to Joe Biden that somebody like Gavin Newsom, for instance, would finally say, okay, this isn't working, I'm getting in. And that would be the end for Biden.
Fascinating. It's we've got a lot of ground to cover between now and the primaries.
Yeah.
And
the good thing for you, Todd, you're lucky. You're never going to have a walk into the studio and say, what can I possibly talk about today?
It's true. No, you're right. This is true. You know, and it was fascinating. We have had so many calls, and most of our listeners are Trump all the way, including most of our female callers. But we had a dear friend of mine, Robin Poffman, on. She's a longtime pundit, former colleague at Fox. And she's a big Trump fan, But she says that age could be the deciding factor here. When people want to go and cast their primary vote, that they're going to be looking for somebody younger.
Well, the thing is, I think that Donald Trump is, and knowing him and having seen him in action, it is amazingly unique, as we all are with this. You know, everybody ages differently. And, wow, he is a whirlwind with people around him trying to keep up with him. I think that's just an accident of his own personal DNA. Unlike Joe Biden, who clearly shows his age here more and more, that's where I think the age problem could really be a problem. It's for Joe Biden. I just don't see any signs of it with Trump. His age at this point is just a number without any meaningful manifestation of something.
Well, I think it's fascinating. Again, when you go back and you look at some of these fierce Republican primaries over the years, and people do forget about this, but you had at one point Ronald Reagan was accusing Gerry Ford of dirty tricks. Was it the staged microphone? I paid for this microphone moment.
I paid for this Mr. The guy's name was John Breen, B-R-E-E-N, and Reagan snaps, "I paid for this microphone, Mr. Green." So, but it was very dramatic, and wow. I mean, that more or less won the New Hampshire primary for right then and there, while his other candidates that sat there on the panel sort of sat there meekly not saying a word.
I was reading one account of that in a book, and the whole thing was a setup because Reagan knew that Reagan had wanted to debate Bush. That was H.W. Bush. H.W. Bush didn't want to debate with anybody else on the stage, but Reagan went and invited everybody else to come along, and that infuriated H.W., who pitched a fit and in public, and everybody got to see it, and then Reagan wins the day with that great line about the microphone.
And, you know, the thing about Reagan and that line, he, of course, was a Hollywood veteran. And there was a movie, the name escapes me at the moment, but starring Spencer Tracy as a presidential candidate. And that line, or a version of it, is in that movie. And doubtless Reagan knew this.
Wow, that's brilliant.
And borrowed from Spencer Tracy, and, you know, it won the day for him.
Remarkable. Jeffrey, we got to leave it there. Great stuff, as always, on your website. And I do want to get you back on soon because I want to talk about the Durham report. And you've got a great piece up saying that, you know what, let's chat. We've got a few seconds here. You point out that this really is the collapse, the total collapse of the justice system. I mean, what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a real serious problem on our hands. You've got people at the top level of the FBI and the Department of Justice. I mean, there's no other way to say it, who are corrupt. And they went after Donald Trump when he was running for president in 2016. And then they undermined his presidency. And then you get the media in this situation where they're rewarded with Pulitzer Prizes for all of this, and it's all hokum, all bunk, all of it false. Are they going to give it back? No, not a prayer. But, you know, we've got a real systemic problem here, and I think that in itself is going to be an issue, and I think, frankly, that's going to help Trump.
All right, folks, again, thejeffreylord.com is the website. Check out the great reporting that Jeffrey has there. Always good hearing from you, friend.
All right, my friend, anytime.
All right.
Be well.
The guy is just a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to be relying on him and leaning on him quite a bit as we go through the political process. But I completely forgot about the Bush dirty tricks. And isn't it sort of ironic now that you've got the Bushes lining up with Ron DeSantis, and they're taking the high ground on running a clean and decent campaign, when, in fact, they're trying to convince people and sway voters in South Carolina that John McCain had an illegitimate black child. You can't make this up. That was a wild, wild primary back in the day. Folks, some big news with our friends over at Newsmax. Their ratings are through the roof. Since Tucker Carlson's been fired, the Eric Bolling Show is up over 200% in the ratings. And every night, Newsmax launches a powerful lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant. They just can't be beat. Americans are tuning to Newsmax for real news you can trust. By the way, you got to watch Eric tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and find out for yourself why Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in the country. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone, and you can watch anytime, anywhere. So make the switch today. Tell your friends you made the switch, because Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Hope you are doing well today. Let's get to the phones. We've got time to work in a couple of calls here. James in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, James, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to call and talk, still say that Trump is the guy we've got to elect if we can get him to be president. The reason being is, he knows all those dirty tricks that they've pulled on him for 4 years, and he knows how deep that swamp is. None of those other guys have a clue of how bad it is. They really don't. And I think that if we don't get him in there, we'll never get that cleared up, because it's taken too long to get it the way it is, and it's going to take us a long time to get it out of that situation, too.
All right.
We all need to understand. All the voters need to understand that this is a war. We got to win the war. It's a war.
It is indeed, James, and this is not some sort of an organized, formal, you know, cricket match. This is a street fight. Got to keep it, and you got to remind people of that. I mean, it's the reality of it all. Oh, by the way, can we play this audio again? There was a horrible situation caught on tape in Memphis, and again, talking about how horrible things are in progressive cities. This is actually a reporter being interviewed, a reporter doing an interview, when a drive-by shooting happened. Cut number 9.
In Whitehaven, we were interviewing a woman about the Memphis PD's plan to enforce the city's teen curfew, when out of nowhere, a drive-by shooting across the street. Watch.
Gotcha. Please spell your name for me.
My name is Yolanda, Yolanda.
Get down. Just stay down and get down. That's okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stay down and get down. Now they're coming back.
Okay.
You okay, Jay? Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cover us. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. We should be all right.
Okay.
Drive by. Yep. You saw it, the black car?
You can see the playground equipment where children play there. That hail gunfire happened at 11 a.m.
Wow, 11 a.m. Look, this is a normal occurrence. And poor Yolanda, it was like just another day, right? Because that's what it is in Memphis. I mean, it really is. You hear the gunfire and, okay, well, time to order out. I mean, seriously, that's how things are. But I thought it was interesting, her reaction compared to the camera guys. He was freaking out. And she was like, I got this. Good for you. Yolanda, I think we can all learn a lot from you. I really do. All right, let's go to Georgia real quick. Kenyon wants to weigh in. Kenyon, thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just working a little bit. I was just back to the conversation earlier with Trump or DeSantis. I think it would be best for the country if Donald Trump was elected president, and somehow, some way, DeSantis could just humble himself and be the vice president, and then we might be looking at DeSantis in the White House for 12 years. You know, and I think, like other people have said, their policies are very similar. Their personalities are a little bit different, but that's just my opinion outside looking in. I was going to get your thoughts on that.
Look, I've always been a big fan of that, and I felt like the strongest ticket for the Republicans is a Trump-DeSantis ticket. And if they can make it through the primaries without killing each other, then I think there's a pretty good chance of that happening. Now, the challenge is this. DeSantis is so much like Trump are they going to cancel each other out? I mean, and would Trump really want somebody that's only going to poll, you know, 15-20% in the Republican primaries? And that's a, you know, that's a question for another day, but that is something we have to consider. And then there, I mean, you know, Trump could, we don't know, Trump could be going for a female vice president or some other route. We'll have to see how all that plays out, but I appreciate the call. All right, we got to scoot out of here, folks. Again, ToddStearns.com. Be sure to check that out, and you folks be good, America.